Hello, Sway Essayists, it's Tara. I've come up with the idea of reading my blog post to you. This way, you'll be free to do other things while still gleaning information that you might need from me. Please forgive any flubbing, as I'm not the most exact reader. Also, try to ignore my annoying voice. Anyway, let's begin. This blog post is how to write the perfect DO personal statement. Before we talk about how to write this statement, I first need to applaud you for your decision to go the DO route. My husband, William, a radiologist, has practiced at our local hospital in Somerset, Kentucky for the past 20 years. When the hospital was chosen as a training center for DO students and residents a few years ago, William became an associate professor to help educate them. Having these students and residents here has not only enriched the culture of the hospital, but of the whole town. Happily, many of the graduates are staying to practice in our rural community. While I can't say William, who trained as an MD, is an easygoing physician to shadow, quote, "Is there any way you can chew your gum with your mouth closed?" He does start every introduction by saying that the best radiologist he ever worked with was a DO. So trust me, you have our utmost respect for pursuing this path. That said, let's get going with how to write your DO personal statement. First off, the prompt is so vague that I actually had to call the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine to make sure that I had actually found it. They reassured me I had, and here it is. Quote, "Write a brief statement expressing why you would like to be considered for the programs you're applying to. You're encouraged to keep a general, meaning it can be used to apply to several programs. It in itself should not be written in a general way. And you have just 4,500 characters to work with, which usually translates into slightly more than a single-spaced page. Essentially, you have been asked they've asked you to explain why you want to be a DO, or if you'd like, what about you would make a good DO. As such, you should begin with a vividly told story that highlights an aha moment of yours that can illustrate traits that suit you to the field. How to carve out that winning story? At this point, I'm going to go to a different blog post, which I wrote for how to write a personal statement for medical doctors. And we're going to start with the heading, start with two lists. First, I want you to list what traits you possess that would make you a great doctor. Are you compassionate, a good communicator, sincere, empathetic, motivated, unusually mature, good under pressure, a leader, kind, good listener, persistent, intellectually curious, good detective, humble? Next, I want you to make a list of your aha moments or moments of sudden insight or discovery. Passions slash interests, drives, regrets, challenges. Whittle down these two lists so that each of them contains three strong traits of yours and three items concerning your passions slash drives slash challenges slash aha moments. Then I want you to think of the stories that demonstrated times when you felt most passionate slash regretful slash driven slash aha'd and what traits those moments triggered in you. The goal here is to get one solid story that helps encapsulate what kind of person you are. No story is too small. For personal statements, the best stories are honest, detailed, show vulnerability, and go somewhere. Try to zero in on a truly important moment in your life, something that has helped define you and led you toward the path you're now trying to pursue. Don't worry too much if it doesn't seem that interesting or unique from the outset. The key is that it was important to you. It can be about the day you volunteered at a day camp for kids with special needs. It can be about a day in the park when someone fell off their bike. It can be about the day in the park when you fell off your bike. It can be about someone choking on a waffle in a diner. It can be about cooking with your grandfather. It can be about figure skating. It can be about playing the violin. It can be about being in an ambulance. It can be about swimming in a lake. It can be about pushing a wheelchair. It can be about being in a wheelchair. Thinking of the story, I want you to activate your senses. What did you see, hear, taste, feel, smell? What are the littlest details that you remember about it? What were you wearing, the person beside you wearing? What did the concrete feel like, the water feel like? What were you cooking, playing? What did you smell? Know that no detail is too small. In fact, I want you to activate the mundane intentionally. Life's littlest details are exactly what is going to make this story uniquely yours. Why? Only you notice something so small and detailed. That is what will make your story unique. Write about what you did. Once you've zeroed in on your story, I want you to write about your place in the story. How did you behave in the moment that you're describing? What did you do? What did you think? How did you react? How did your brain work? How did you tackle? Here's the point where I want you to show your vulnerability. And if that gives you the heebie-jeebies, too bad. Go there. You need to let the reader know what role you played in this moment and what you realized and learned and thought and how all of that changed you. One important point, you don't have to be the hero. In fact, it's probably better if you aren't. It's been my experience that aha moments that help define one's life are often shockingly small in nature. Excuse me. Another important point, if your moment intrinsically involves someone else, say your grandfather or your mom or something else, like a trip or an event, you must constantly be careful to make the essay about you reacting to your grandfather, mom, trip, or event. It cannot actually be about your grandfather, mom, trip, or event. Okay, we're going to go into a sample personal statement here, which I call a python runs into a poodle. Here it is. Quote, I was standing behind the cash register when it happened. A woman had just finished playing with the puppies and reached for a 10-foot-long Burmese python wrapped around this guy's neck. He was buying rats to feed it. I'm still not sure why he felt the need to bring it in the pet store. But the snake's next moved and steered next moves instilled a fear in me that I will take to my grave. As she reached toward the serpent, it grabbed a hold of her forearm and blood started dripping all over the floor. The lady handled it far better than I would have. She just stood there, amused while the snake owner used a pencil to force its jaws off her arm. After that, I had to ask the guy to watch his pet and stop chatting because it was about to eat the $800 poodle it smelled on her in the first place. Working at Jack's Aquarium was far from your everyday kind of job. I had to deal with snakes biting people, anemones stinging children, and birds cussing out customers as they walked in. But from the age of 16, I knew I loved working in an unpredictable and exciting environment. Why do I love this so much? Let's count the ways. One, from the first sentence, you want to keep reading. Two, while a python biting a woman has a degree of drama to it, the writer doesn't embellish what really happened. Instead, only honesty shines through. The woman doesn't get hysterical as predicted. She's amused. There's no brute strength used to get the python off of her. Instead, just a lowly pencil to pry the jaws apart. The writer doesn't forget to mention the price of the poodle because, after all, he works at a pet store. Three, you can constantly hear the voice of the writer. The use of, quote, this guy's, the choice of the word chatting instead of speaking, the expression, quote, still not sure why he felt the need. There aren't three syllable words crammed in here. There aren't flowery metaphors. In fact, the only literary device used here is the idiom take to my grave, which is a cliche and still works because it's in keeping with the writer's voice. Four, the writer does something. He asks the guy to watch his pet and stop chatting. It's a tense situation, and the writer shows that he's capable of managing it, yet still allows the expert, presumably the python's owner, to handle the snake. We know from the outset that the writer has a good sense of humor. Now we see that he has a clear head in a tense situation. He also knows his place by not trying to take over. He lets the python owner manage the python. But can we infer that it's probably the writer who handed him the pencil from behind the cash register? Yeah, probably, because the writer is smart, too. Anyway, obviously, I love this story. But I want you to see how it works. It's not just that it's dramatic and amusing. If it were only that, there wouldn't be any substance to it. It's that it's honest, detailed, and goes somewhere. What to write about after your opening story? Remember your lists, and that I had you isolate three traits and three passions / drives / aha moments? That wasn't for nothing. After your opening story, I want you to write about the other reasons why you want to go into medicine. And likewise, tie them to short anecdotes that demonstrate both your traits, aha moments, and what you did in those moments. Obviously, these will be less detailed than your first story, but they will show different aspects of why you want to be a doctor. What not to write about. There are stories I think you should avoid. A story about a 6-year-old you bandaging the paw of your stuffed animal named Bobby is one. I don't care how many details you add to that story, it's just been played out. Same for the story of a 7-year-old you receiving a doctor's kit to help you perform fake surgeries. By and large, I prefer for stories to be about the adult you rather than the kid you. To me, what you have realized as an adult says more about you than what you realized as a child. If there isn't a way to work around that, that's okay if you stick to being honest and rely on the details. It's also preferable if you're still involved in whatever it is you're writing about. Meaning, if you write about your passion for music, it needs to be something you're still passionate about as an adult. Further, I strongly recommend you avoid the sentence, I like to help people, in your personal statement. Guess what? Every doctor does. And more than that, liking to help people doesn't uniquely belong to being a doctor. Teachers help people, nurses do it, cops do too. Finally, don't be too chronological. You don't want your essay to be plodding. We don't need to read about your childhood, then middle school, high school, college experiences. Even if they demonstrate you being consistent about wanting to be a doctor, they don't show much else. Besides, everyone applying will have these milestones in their lives. They're not unique enough to write about. Address your slip-ups in your personal statement. The prompt invites you to address gaps that may appear in your transcript. If you have these slip-ups in your academic record, you should absolutely save some space to address them. Remember what I said about vulnerability and honesty? That's what is important. In fact, these slip-ups say as much about your story as anything, and they don't have to be a bad thing. Just focus on what you learned because of them. Again, it might be a time to explain the exact moment, another anecdote, you realize the benefits of hardship. Okay, so that's my advice for the medical school personal statements, and I think it likewise applies for the DO personal statements. But you must realize that the DO admissions essay is a different beast than the MD personal statement. First, you have fewer characters to work with. Second, about one third of your essay should explain specifically why you're interested in the DO as opposed to the MD approach. So let's look at the differences with osteopathic medicine. The official tenets of osteopathic medicine are: the body is a unit, the person is a unit of mind, body, and spirit. The body is capable of self-regulation, self-healing, and health maintenance. Structure and function are reciprocally interrelated. Rational treatment is based upon an understanding of the basic principles of body unity, self-regulation, and the interrelationship of structure and function. One major difference with osteopathic medicine is DO students receive 200 additional hours of training in osteopathic manipulative medicine, which the AACOM describes this way, quote, "The system of hands-on techniques helps alleviate pain, restores motion, supports the body's natural functions, and influences the body's structure to help it function more efficiently." If you've shadowed a DO and witnessed the difference in treatment and outcome, you should by all means describe that experience in your essay. I still wouldn't start with it, however, since you don't want to come across as pandering, A, and B, it will probably say more about the DO than you. There are other differences to DO too. One, DOs tend to practice in more rural and underserved urban areas. Two, they tend to work to improve wellness in their communities as a whole. Three, they work alongside patients as a partner to try to assess what social factors might be hampering patient health. Four, they have a strong background in primary care. About one third of graduates become primary care physicians, meaning they work on the front lines of patient care. In your personal statement, I encourage you to choose two of these points to highlight. In so doing, make sure you discuss how osteopathic medicine specifically appeals to who you are. After all, committee readers aren't reading your statement to learn more about osteopathic medicine. They're reading to learn more about you. In the blog post, there's also a few links to check out. One is about an article that contains insight from physicians in the field and what they look for in DO personal statements. There's also two links also from my blog, one about how to edit your personal statement for structure and flow, and another to learn how to get rid of the grit in your grammar. Finally, know that you can do this. You have an extremely open-ended prompt to work with, and that means you have the opportunity to really make this yours. You already have the material within you to make this into something great. Just follow these tips and tactics to get it there. In the meantime, as always, know that I'm here at tara@swayessay.com if you need more help.